this show. I'm Lubna Hamdan.
And I'm Farah Bashir, joining Lubna Hamdan.
And today we're talking Abu Dhabi's most valuable company is eyeing a $1 billion bid for Zambia's copper mines. And Saudi is looking to invest $1.5 billion in a tourism project in Egypt's Ras Gemila. And how doing good was bad for Unilever. Also, an ex-NBC director, sorry, Mazen, in advance, has sent out a strange email mourning the loss of his Porsches due to the rain. And lastly, Meta has launched a new AI website that's going to rival Google and Microsoft's AI plans and threaten them. So that's the news for today. And Richard has... abandoned the show. Thank you, Richard. Thank you.
So I will be joining you guys starting from today. I mean, I'm not going to count the past days because I thought that they were just like for the time being. Yeah. But
he hasn't totally
abandoned
the show.
He
will come in. He's just got a lot going on. Running a company is not
easy.
Not an easy job. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I mean, I need whatever Rich. Whatever vitamin pills he has.
Yeah, that guy just doesn't sleep, does he? Yeah.
I mean, I really do need that because all I can think of is how powerful can a man be to be able to run a business, manage his team, manage a full-on company, work out, be healthy, and sleep.
Mm.
And have love. How is that possible?
Have love, yeah. Yeah, I mean, let's not give Richard too much credit. Yeah. We don't want to inflate we don't want to inflate Richard's ego too much. He's great, but anyways, missing you, Rich, on the show. Right. So, Abu Dhabi is looking into Zambia and looking into Zambia's copper mines. That's interesting because a lot of people are talking about AI. But it's actually lithium and copper that a lot of people are not talking about too much on the news, but looking to invest in. Those are kind of becoming the, at some point it was data was the new oil, and now it's it's copper and lithium and a lot of other things. Anyways, Abu Dhabi's most valuable company, Abu Dhabi's international holding company, has made a bid to acquire the majority stake of Zambian Vedanta's copper assets with a bid of over $1 billion. Honestly, my daily struggle with this earpiece is going to actually drive me absolutely mental.
Well, you're not alone. You are not alone.
The earpiece keeps on falling from my ears. But anyways, right, so it wants to, IHC is the company in Abu Dhabi, and it wants to acquire a majority stake in Vedanta Resources, Zambian copper assets. The offer exceeds actually $1 billion, and it wants to acquire a 51% share in those mines. That's according to Reuters. Mm-hmm. And this aligns with the company's African copper mining ambitions as its subsidiary, International Resources Holding, recently acquired a 51% stake also in Mopani copper mines for $1.1 billion. A lot of billions. It's just making me... want money. And it plans to invest further in the region, including pursuing a stake in another copper mine, Lubumbe. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. So yeah, it's an interesting move for Abu Dhabi. It's just making so many interesting moves.
Yes.
Copper and lithium, as I mentioned before, are a lot of people are looking into that field. Besides the chips, they think that that's what's really going to skyrocket the prices of those.
I mean, you know how like Abu Dhabi has been always known for, or actually the UAE has been like mainly known for discovering the UAE, and then after the UAE has been formed, Abu Dhabi has been found to have been, you know, put as the capital of the UAE because it had, you know, the most oil. So with that, you know, they have been, I would say, yes, they have been, I would say, the capital of investing and investment and so on. And whether it, like, it transferred from oil and so on, then there's like Bitcoin and then there's like crypto and then this goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So I think, honestly, this move is a smart move, and I think that they know what they are doing. So maybe like investing right now can, as you said, should be targeted towards lithium and copper.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Someone else who is investing. So we obviously everyone heard about the story of Ras Al Hikma in Egypt and Abu Dhabi's. You know, taking over that land to build a lot of projects there. There is a backstory to that story that Egypt owes Abu Dhabi a lot of money, and that's how the exchange for the plot came about. A lot of Egyptians are not happy about that. However, maybe they should be, because everything that the UAE has done in Egypt is absolutely spectacular. Ahmad has got a couple of projects there. And, you know, they also have those projects in Istanbul. And it's just a totally different level of developments, honestly. You know, everything from the infrastructure to the luxury to the offerings, it's just totally on another level. So Saudi now is also looking to do the same thing in Egypt. It's looking to invest $1.5 billion in a tourism project in Egypt, Siras Gamila. The investment company is looking to buy a land plot in the area in Sharm el Sheikh. That's according to unnamed sources who told that to a Sharq business. If the deal is successful, the company intends to develop 10 hotels with a total of 3,000 rooms during the initial phase at a projected cost of $1.5 billion. Those 10 four- and five-star hotels would add 3,000 rooms to Egypt's hotel capacity. It remains unclear how much the company, which is, by the way, Ajlan and Bros, might pay... Sorry, it's just a little bit funny that Ajlan and Bro, just every time I see the word bros now, I cannot help but think of crypto, crypto bros.
That is true, 100%.
Yeah, but it remains unclear how much Ajlan and Bros might pay to obtain the development rights for the site. That's interesting. I wonder if it's the same as the UAE one. Anyways, the UAE's wealth fund, ADQ, agreed earlier this year, that's what I was talking about, to pay $24 billion for development rights at Ras Al Hikma on Egypt's Mediterranean coast. Are they actually paying that? How much does Egypt owe the UAE? We can look into that at a separate episode, but it's interesting. The group has also made separate offers for several companies that are part of Egypt's privatization program. These discussions are expected to conclude within the next 6 months. So interesting that.
It is actually a very interesting. They have, Egypt has debt to pay to the UAE. And the UAE is looking at it from a business perspective, which I think will be benefiting both sides.
Yeah,
you know, whether like with like revenue to the UAE, and as well, it will, I would say, like really elevate mm-hmm. Egypt in mm-hmm. a way, you know. And I mean, honestly, if any country would be very glad and very, I would say, trusting if the UAE would be looking to invest mm-hmm. in their land. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So Ras Gamila, by the way, is a cape that separates a large sandy lagoon from the Red Sea. Oh, it's making me want to go on holiday just talking about this. And it's considered one of the most stunning diving spots on Egypt's globally, obviously very popular Sharm el Sheikh. The Russians love it. It lies directly across the Strait of Tehran from Neom and is close to a proposed bridge site that would connect Neom to Sinai. So the area's natural beauty and strategic location contribute to its popularity and significance. So yeah, it's just making me me want to shoot out of here and just go on vacation. okay. Hisham, our producer, said we'll meet there on the 15th of December. September, yeah. Okay, that's more like it. Yeah, because I don't think I'll make it to December without a holiday at this point. meet you there, Hisham. have you been to Egypt, by the way?
Actually, Farah? I haven't, but I really would love to. You know, mm-hmm. I have been. My sister has gone on a trip to Egypt,
yeah.
And she has just like told us about like it's beautiful. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You go there, the people are very welcoming and they're very, I would say, heartwarming.
Mm-hmm.
On so many,
they have a great sense of humor.
They do. They really, really
except
really
not so much in advertising.
Yeah.
The ads are just.
I mean, we've seen the. the Spider-Man one. Yeah, it's kind of like funny. They're very creative.
It's not. It's really not.
Maybe Lubna does not find it funny, but I think it's a very smart way.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might be like it's done in a way that maybe their culture understands it. Mm-hmm. And so like I'm just like really looking forward to the UAE, I'd say, taste.
Mm.
That is going to be implemented in Egypt.
UAE and Saudi. Yeah, someone left a comment saying because Saudi is looking to looking for investment from China for NEOM because it is such a mega project still, even after the downsizing. So someone left a comment under that post saying they're investing in Egypt, but they want China to invest. Again, we don't know much about that deal yet, but it could be also a matter of debt. But why not bring investors into NEOM? The thing is, the UAE and Saudi do often get so much hate, yeah. Whatever they do. If they want to invest in foreign companies, it's the British claiming that the UAE wants to take over their freedom of press. If they're looking for investment from China, it's why don't you invest in your own land? It's just sometimes you just can't win, except they are winning.
That is true.
They really are winning. Right, Unilever. How doing good was bad for Unilever. The consumer goods company is ditching its ESG for profits. So it's reducing its environmental and social commitments because of growing pressure from investors and politicians critical of non-financial objectives. According to Bloomberg, the shift marks a significant departure for the $118 billion consumer group known for its robust ESG policies. It's been one of those groups that has really been pushing no plastic, etc. So it originally aimed to halve its use of virgin plastics by 2025, but has adjusted its target to a one-third reduction by 2026. Also, commitments to ensure a living wage for all suppliers by 2030 now only will cover half of spending by 2026. They also have other initiatives like funding diverse businesses and increasing workforce diversity. They've also been revised or dropped. It's obviously a departure from its previous sustainability agendas. So it's a bit of sad news when profits. Mm-hmm. Sad news. We were speaking to Mazen from House of Pops a couple of, I think it was about 2 months ago in the Sharjah Entrepreneurial Festival. And he, House of Pops has sustainable wrapping. They try to do everything sustainably. And I asked Mazen, does it cost more to have the sustainable packaging? And he said, yes, it does, but they are so profitable that it doesn't even matter. And they're growing at an incredible, really incredible speed, House of Pops. They are everywhere.
That is true. I do see them everywhere. However, I feel like if, let's say, like they go like, okay, fine, we are actually getting profit out of it, and then they just like they don't actually match the standards that they have actually promised the consumer to get, then at some point they will for sure lose the profit because like people will recognize, people will stop consuming their products.
I think the main problem for them also is even though it it avoided taking a position on the genocide in Gaza, it has been facing boycotts, not just in Muslim countries. The boycotts have actually hit those brands a lot in the U.S. People forget, in the U.S. and Europe, people forget how many Arabs there are in the U.S. And Europe, thanks to their invasions. They created a lot of refugees. So, yeah. Right back at you, I'll say that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, as well, you do find that the Arabs that are living in the US or even in European countries, they are more committed to the boycott rather than people who live in Arab countries.
That's a great point, actually. That's a great point. Yes, they are. And they're also more... they're more attached to their religion, to their culture, to their lifestyle because they feel that they need to. Whereas I think even here in Dubai, we're not as attached to it. We don't adhere, as strictly to a lot of the people abroad because we feel, okay, we're already in an Arab country, and that kind of sometimes goes over our heads how much we, you know, we steer a little bit further away from our culture. But it's also beautiful. Dubai is very multicultural, and it's beautiful as well.
Agreed.
Right. So, story of the week, I think this is. Mm-hmm. Mazen Hayek was the group director of PR and CSR at media giant NBC for 14 years before leaving to pursue other opportunities. He sent a strange email yesterday morning, and basically. Basically, the email reads, first of all, it's titled, sorry, Mazen, I don't know what you thought was going to happen when you sent that email, Mazen. What did you think was going to happen? It's titled, Dubai Flood Submerge My Cars, Yet Love, Gratitude, and Resilience Cruise Forward. While I acknowledge that the world and the Middle East region face far greater challenges, indeed, a lot of people have had their entire homes destroyed. The email goes on. It faces far greater challenges and human suffering than material loss. The recent floods in Dubai hit close to home for me personally. My 2014 Porsche 911 and 2019 Porsche 911 GT2 RS, which I acquired over a 32-year career of hard work and dedication, were submerged. It's a material loss. In brackets, $500,000. I feel deeply having earned the means to afford these cars as a testament to my perseverance. Despite this personal setback, my love, gratitude, and commitment to Dubai remains unshaken. I'm just laughing because of the relationship between men and their cars is just remarkable. Anyways, I'm going to read quickly the rest of the email. For over 20 years, our beloved city state has given me and my family so much, and together we will reemerge stronger than ever. Indeed, I am grateful for all the support from the local authorities and our wonderful community. The case is currently being assessed and evaluated by the insurance RSA/LIVA and the Al Nabuda Porsche service team. The final outcome, repair or total loss, is yet unknown. Here's to overcoming challenges and cruising forward stronger together. Wishing you health, prosperity, and peace warmly. Mazen Hayek, advisor to CEOs in clean tech, media, and telecom. As an advisor to CEOs, bless you. What was this, though?
I mean, sending an email as an ex-NBC director, who you probably have a career that is as big, that got you to get these Porsches. So why would he send an email? Because that, I think, honestly, like, I am thinking of it as, like, from
a PR perspective?
Yeah.
Or generally just, I mean, some people called it tone deaf, and someone described it as a love letter to his dying Porsches. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, it can go both. Pretty much. PR and personal perspective, like, both of them come hand in hand, right? Because, like, you are an ex-NBC director. Why would you send an email expecting what? You know, like, fine, mm-hmm. It's very sad. Your Porsches got, you know, they got carried away, and mm-hmm. they have been mm-hmm. affected by the floods, just like a lot of cars and a lot of houses and a lot of, I'd say, property.
So people were calling it tone deaf. A lot of people are laughing in the comments. Someone said, wishing this man a speedy recovery, and I hope his insurance money covers the need for a top-of-the-line 2024 edition therapist. Amen. Amen. Someone else said, I hope he gets his cars back. I feel bad for him. It's okay to appreciate what you have and to be sad if it's lost. Yeah. It is okay. It is strange, however, to send an email mourning
that. Yeah, it is.
What was the point of this email, I wonder? Was it to get Porsche's attention? Was it to share this? I don't know. Maybe, you know what, we'd love to have Mazen come into the studio. We also had a video of him. You know, it's so fascinating sometimes how... the email came attached, by the way, with pictures of Mazen with his beloved Porsche in happier times, two of them. Actually, check it out, Smashy Business. Check it out on Instagram. It's so fascinating when people say things and do things mm-hmm. And then get very surprised that it's published. You know, sending this to, you know, media executives, for example, What did you think was going to happen? But also, what's interesting is that he did an interview right here in the studio for a show that we had before called Unspoken. And he said a lot of really controversial things, and we took out part of that clip. Okay. He said, and I just want to get this correctly, there wouldn't be a media industry left if corporates in the Arab world introduced the same guidelines as corporates in the West. He was hinting at corruption and toxic work environments in regional companies. It's a very strong statement. It's correct in many industries, especially the media industry, and he was saying that the younger generation is not going to put up with the toxicity in the workplace. They're not going to put up with it if they don't feel appreciated in their jobs, and how it's different to the older generations. But what's fascinating is Mazen wants the clip down. Why, Mazen? If you have said that, stand by what you said. We can love the UAE and also start critical conversations. That's okay.
I think he is right from a point of view. For example, like the older generation, they are, I would say, programmed to accept disrespect and unfairness. However, because
I don't think they're programmed. Probably they didn't have a choice.
Maybe
back then they didn't really have much of a choice.
Could be
you didn't have social media. You couldn't be outspoken about a lot of things. And regimes were also different back then. We have more space to put out our views.
I mean, that could be. However, like I feel like this generation, because we live in a globalized era and everything is very fast.
Yeah.
So this generation, not only do they want things in a very fast pace mode, but if everything is replaceable for them. Bless you.
Sorry, guys. I apologize for the constant sniffling on this show.
It's okay, me too.
Gosh. No, all good, all good. All good. Yeah. The show must go on. Must go on. Please go ahead.
Yes. So, I feel like this generation, they go like, this person is not good for me. I will X this person out and this person is replaceable. And they practice this act as well with their jobs.
We saw quiet quitting, not so quiet.
Yes.
We saw a lot of people quit on TikTok. People were filming it. The very famous Vice video that came out when they were firing people and everyone was putting the thumbs down emoji. Emojis. I loved it. I loved that, honestly. You have to be very, very courageous. There's another word I want to use, but I don't want to use it on this show. You have to be very, very courageous to do that.
That's right. And mind you, by the way, as well, Lubna, is that this generation is very skillful. There's TikTok, social media. They know everything. Mm-hmm. So they know their worth. And they know that if they leave this company, another company would gladly hire them.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I agree and disagree with that because I do think a lot of the younger generation comes off as entitled as well. I think having a balance is nice, but you know what? It's sometimes you do have to be on one end of the extreme to really make a difference. So perhaps my generation should be more entitled.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't appreciate ourselves enough, and thus corporates and companies don't appreciate us as much.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you. There are many times where I go because I am from the new generation and my parents don't see eye to eye because of that, particular things. They have practiced things in a way and I do things in a
sure.
way.
Sure, absolutely. Right, last story of the day, last but not least, Meta has launched a new AI website, potentially threatening Microsoft and Google's AI plans. It's getting an upgrade. Meta AI is getting an upgrade as the company aims to gain a stronger position in the generative AI market, challenging OpenAI and Google. Mark Zuckerberg announced on Threads that Meta's AI Llama 3 model, why do all these AI models have just strange names,
robotic
honestly,
names.
like Llama, anyway, is being integrated into platforms like Messenger and Instagram with its own dedicated site. He shares stats and details about this new AI model. It's going to be available across desktop and mobile apps. Features like search in Messenger, Meta AI in your Facebook feed, and other integrations. So yeah, the interface is reminiscent of OpenAI's ChatGPT, which is trying to take our jobs. Stop it. Just stop it. It prompts you to log in with Facebook to assist in training the model through logging, though logging in is optional. Interesting about Threads, by the way, because do you use Threads? Threads is basically Meta's version of Twitter.
Look, at this point, I strongly believe that AI softwares are competing against each other. You know what I mean? It's like they're competing against each other. They're trying to get the, I would say, like the best software out there and be like, oh my God, this is the best AI software to ever exist. You know, they're all the same, but just like in different fonts, I would believe. I don't use Threads, to be honest with you. I really don't. You know, I do use it for work, but on a personal level, no, I don't. Because like, again, like it's a lot of like different AI things.
Do you use Twitter? So,
like this is the point, you know, it's like it's like AI trying to compete with AI. It's like Farah fighting with
I mean, look, Threads, I mean, yeah, I mean that's I think you what you're referring to is the AI website for Meta, but yeah, I mean Threads and Twitter is more obviously social media and just wondering how many people reach out to us, guys. If you use Threads or you prefer X or Twitter, everyone keeps calling it Twitter because I just the name X is just not sticking. And fortunately, because it's a terrible name. Let us know if you use Threads. I've actually never used Threads in my life. I don't know. I just Twitter is very kind of nostalgic, and I think maybe if we all keep calling it Twitter, maybe the name will come
back.
Yeah,
but then
here's hoping.
Yeah, but I don't think honestly that you know, like, look, see, I don't understand. It used to be Twitter, and for so long, and we grew up knowing that this is Twitter.
Yeah.
But then, ever since it has been you know, bought by, if you remember his name again, Nikola Tesla? No.
Sorry, who? Elon Musk, you
mean? Yeah, Elon Musk, exactly. Right, Elon Musk. Right. Ever since it has been, you know, acquisitioned by Elon Musk, has been called X, and the transition was quite the news for everyone. And then suddenly it has gone from Twitter to X. So everyone's kind of like, it looks the same, so it must be Twitter. You know what I mean? It's just like what the name has changed, and
I think you've just humbled. Humbled Elon Musk by calling him Nikola or Nicholas.
That's the thing is because like
that's
like,
Gen Z just humbling one of the most iconic businessmen on this planet. calling him Nikola.
That is true. I mean, yeah, I mean, because like the names are confusing. I mean, like his son's name is like XAE 12. It's like,
yeah, apparently it's a code for another name, always a pleasure, Farah. We're running out of time, but it's been great, fascinating stuff about Saudi and the UAE. And those land plots in Egypt. It's a developing story. Stay tuned for that. Apologies to Mazen as well. You're our victim of the week, but you don't have to be. You can embrace it. You can embrace it. That's good comms and good PR, Mazen. If you just embrace it, you love your Porsches. You sent out this, email, just go with it. You've done it. It's out there. People have already seen it. Just embrace it. We can all laugh at ourselves sometimes. Obviously, some people are taking it very seriously because the damage from the floods was devastating for a lot of people. So it wasn't the smartest idea sending that. However, so stay tuned for next week's victim. No, I'm kidding. We're not only here for negative news
victims,
as Richard loves to remind me. Just like today, he reminded me of that yet again. Anyways, listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, or if you would like to watch the video, go to smashy.tv, and we'll see you tomorrow.